Co-coordinators of the now celebration of the 54th anniversary of women's suffrage, which will be this August 26th. The celebration will actually take place on August 24th, though. Kathy is presently co-coordinator of the National Media Task Force, and Whitney is a former co-coordinator of the National Media Task Force and is presently on the board of directors of NOW. First, I'm going to give you the time and the place for this women's fair. Going to be Saturday, August 24th, 1974, so that's next Saturday, at the President's Park on 15th at E Street Northwest, and it'll take place from 1 to 6 p.m., and that'll be followed by a dance at St. Stephen's Church on 16th and Newton Streets Northwest, and that'll be from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m., and it'll take $2 to get into that dance. Now, what is this fair going to consist of? It's a good general question.
Well, basically, this is the third annual fair, and we're going to be having various booths and women's and feminist and civil rights organizations participating in it. Last year there were about 40 groups, and this year we're expecting about the same. In addition to that, there's going to be a candidates corner, basically, for ward candidates. Also, we'll have a program, a speakers program. Radio Free Women is going to MC it, and we'll be introducing various speakers. We have various people coming in to speak, and some singers, and music supplied by Sophie Spiler. We'll be having people like Warren Farrell, who is presently the task force coordinator on Masculine Mystique, Ruth Bates Harris, who has a charges employment case against NASA. Chairman Powell of the EFC is going to be speaking. Lynn Leslie is going to be singing. And also, we'll have the Pepco van will be there with various movies and slide shows, as well as tapes that women have done, the video center.
And I think one of the most fun things that's going to be there, aside from all the booths with lots of good things to buy and look at, is going to be a demonstration of women in non-traditional jobs. And we're going to have women welders and carpenters and what else, Kathy?
There? WAFT is going to be building their scenes for the next play, which is the Washington Area Feminist Theater. Woman Carpenter called me just yesterday and going to be building some furniture.
And there will be child care so that you can bring your children. They'll have a fenced-in area and lots of toys to play with and supervision. There will be adults there to take care of your children. So it should be a fun afternoon.
Do women bringing children have to notify anybody ahead of time or just show up with them?
No, just show up.
The other thing there'll be is an arts and fair festival. Women artists and crafts people in the area will show their wares. So that should be interesting too.
It sounds like the Folklife Festival at the mall, only for women.
Exactly. It
sounds very extensive.
Well, I think it'll be a little bit different in that we hope to generate some robust discussion and debate with some of the speakers. We try to invite different kinds of people to make short addresses to the fair. We got some men, some minorities, some non-minorities, and we're hoping that that this will draw attention to the fact that feminism is really a humanist concern and that lots of different people need to be concerned about it. It's been 54 years since women have gotten the right to vote, but we still haven't gotten 54% we're 54% of the people in the district, so we should have 54% of the power, and we don't. And we hope to confront some of the people at the fair and why we don't. And so we're hoping that not only will we have a lot of fun, but that there'll be some good discussion, too.
What time will the speeches be taking place? Will that be throughout the...
Yes, intermittently.
Okay.
And as Kathy said, there will be a candidate's corner, too. We're not going to invite any of the political candidates to speak at the speaker's platform, because we are a nonpartisan organization and we want to maintain that posture. But we are providing a candidate's corner where they can pass out their literature and talk with the fair participants. And we expect that a good number will show up, particularly in light of last week's candidates, what was it called? The candidates forum. Where the
there are a lot of women running for
yes.
city posts this year, so.
Especially in awards.
Yeah, right. Can you tell us a little bit about the groups that are going to be participating in this fair with NOW?
Well, they'll be the area-wide NOW chapters, as well as the Women's Political Caucus, the Human Relations Commission here in the district. Let's see,
Equal Employment Opportunity Commission
will be there. Various women's groups, the National Black Feminists will be there. Just a variety of different groups and different organizations.
I'd like to take this opportunity to plug Radio Free Women. We're going to have a booth there also, and we're in the process of changing from Radio Free Women to the Feminist Radio Network, which will be a national distributing company. So we will be there to explain what we're doing and why.
Great.
Along with a lot of other groups.
Another thing that's going to be happening for August 26th, on August 26th, which I'm excited about, is a Virginia vigil for the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. And it's going to be at the Carillon, which is right at the entrance of Arlington Cemetery. The Carillon it's a monument donated by the Netherlands, and it chimes music. And we're going to hopefully have them chime I Am Woman. Going to be a candlelight service for the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment at 8 o'clock p.m. on the 26th.
Which is Monday night, which will be the culmination of a day-long series of activities that NOW is coordinating to draw attention to the continuing discrimination against women. And this year we're going to be focusing on the economic oppression of women in terms of employment discrimination, credit discrimination, particularly in terms of lack of job opportunity. And we're going to be so-called zapping a few major employers and federal agencies around the city during that day. We can't really tell you much more, but if you're interested in having a lot of fun in activities that will all be legal and will probably get a lot of good publicity, call the NOW office or send us your name and phone number and we'll get in touch with you. The number is 387-6895. This will be on Monday, August 26th.
Vigil planned for this date only because it's the anniversary of women's suffrage, or is it particularly timely as far as the Virginia legislature goes?
Well, both. Northern Virginia NOW wanted to do it, and we thought that it was a good idea to bring attention to the fact that Virginia is one of the states that has not ratified the constitutional amendment that we desperately need, which is that would make it illegal and unconstitutional for states to discriminate on the basis of sex. And since we're celebrating one constitutional amendment, which took us about 100 years to get, we thought that it was a good idea to call attention to the Second Amendment that we desperately need. And we wanted to bring as many women into it as possible, because those of us who don't live in Virginia, neither Kathy nor I does, sometimes think of it as, that's the Virginia women's problem, when in fact it's all of our problem. If Virginia doesn't ratify, we're all going to suffer. So that we feel it's important for those of us who live in Maryland and D.C. and from other areas to participate in this with Virginia feminists. They have a different kind of opposition, I think, in Virginia from what we experienced in Maryland and some other states. It's a much more conservative state. And it's important that we support them in the way, in the kind of demonstration that they want to have. And so they suggested it, and it was based on their estimate of the kinds of battles that they're going to have to fight this year, this upcoming year, starting next January, with when it will be back in the legislature in Virginia.
Okay, so that vigil is going to be on the evening of Women's Day, Monday, August 26th at 8 p.m. at the, what is it, the Caroline?
Right, it's across the it's across from the Iwo Jima Memorial near Arlington Seminary, and we picked it because we did get a commitment from the Park Service to have the Caroline play I Am Woman. It might fall through on us if the Caroline operator has to be in the hospital, but we have every indication that the operator will be available and be playing the song.
I never imagined that the Park Service was so sympathetic.
Well, the Park Service has given us a lot of cooperation. In fact, in putting together the fair, we're doing it on Park Service land. For the past two years, they've cooperated with us and haven't had too many problems with them. Although I must say that all of the people in control of the Park Service seem to be men.
Yeah. Just for information for women who might be planning an event such as this one, what does it take to get park space? Is it a difficult process, or is it just...
No, not really. You have to file a permit application with the National Capital Area Park Service, and you simply have to state the approximate number of people you expect, the date that you'd like to have, and it's a good idea to reserve a rain date for the next day. As we have done, the rain date for the fair is the 25th, which is on Sunday. And you have to answer about 20 questions which pertain to what kind of organization you are and what the purpose for the celebration is. And the only constraints are that, with certain exceptions, you're not permitted to make any sales on Park Service property unless you get a special permit. They do not restrain the sale of printed articles such as books, bumper stickers, buttons and things, because that would probably infringe on the First Amendment. But and also you can sell food for the participants, so long as it's on a cost-sharing basis. You're not making any elaborate profits. And the reason for that is they just don't want private entrepreneurs making a lot of money off park public land. But other than that, the regulations are spelled out in the Code of Federal Regulations, and they sound a little harsh when you first read them. But in application, I think that the Park Service has been fair to us, generally. There's one interesting sidelight to this, however. We looked into the possibility of getting the Park Service to co-sponsor the event. And when I inquired about it, they said, well, they didn't do it for political events. And I said, but this isn't a political event. The organization which is sponsoring it is nonpartisan, and we're celebrating the passage of a constitutional amendment. While it was controversial when it was passed, I don't think that it is anymore. Very few people would argue that women should not have the right to vote at this point. And they said, well, that they would not co-sponsor it this year, but we're thinking of maybe looking into it for next year, because you get certain advantages from that. You can make sales. You can also get the Park Service to furnish you with certain equipment that you can't get otherwise.
When I was thinking about this interview earlier today, I thought that it's too bad that there aren't more celebrations of this kind, because it's a rare opportunity for a lot of women who aren't familiar with the women's movement to come down for a day and familiarize themselves with an incredible number of varied activities and issues.
All women who are sympathetic to the women's movement now but are new to Washington, I know some of our more active members have just moved here for one reason or another and really don't know how to get involved, what types of groups are around the city. I think the fair gives people an opportunity to get their feet wet.
Yeah, you can mix and mingle with a lot of different types of people, old women, young women, middle-aged women, men, children, and some groups that we don't identify ordinarily as feminists, like the YWCA, for example, will be participating. And you can meet lawyers, women who work in the home, lots of different kinds. It really is. It's also a great opportunity for a group you work with, like Radio Free Women, to spread the message about your group and what you're doing, and also just to exchange ideas and tips on organizing, getting good publicity and things like that. It's a great sharing experience.
I know that a lot of times women are very hesitant to go to an open meeting, for instance, because they feel like they wouldn't have anything to offer or anything, and this is a good anonymous way to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
another person who will be there is Sue Sojourner from First Things First. And they presently, I think, have space in Lammas. She's got a wide variety of feminist literature, records, posters, things like that, which very often women can't get out to Lammas or can't, you know, really don't know where to find feminist literature. And Sue will be there with her van.
Yeah, Georgetown University Women's Caucus did a conference sometime last year. I think it was in the winter last year. And Sue Sojourner was here with her van. And it was very impressive. It was like having a bookstore open overnight. Let's see, can you tell us a little bit about the dance at St. Stephen's Church?
That evening from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. and the admission will be $2, and there will be a variety of women's bands playing. And it again, it's a good time to get out and meet people. It's not exclusively for women, it's for women and men. St. Stephen's is sort of a tradition, you know, a historical place now since they had the
Alice in Cheek,
right, the controversy with the women minister at a church, so we're glad to have it there.
Okay, that dance is on the same day as the fair, August 24th, from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. Admission is $2.
There will be wine and cheese and alcoholic beverages there.
So. Yeah, I don't encourage a few people.
Every 18 months now has a national conference. Our recent one was in Houston, Texas, and at each of these conferences we established priorities, and we have become increasingly aware of the economic discrimination against women in the institutions, which keep us from having a fair share in society's benefits. And we this year have identified employment discrimination as being one of our priority targets. And we feel that this is an issue that affects all women, poor women, old women, minority women, non-minority women. And we're trying to bring focus to this in a number of ways, nationally and locally. Locally, we have an ongoing employment committee, or compliance committee it's called, which investigates employment practices of employers, obtains statistics from government agencies, files class action charges, looks for lawyers, pickets. Last week I was out at a major retail store doing a headcount, and it was very interesting. All the minorities and minority males, minority females, and women, non-minority women, were all in low-commissioned departments such as underwear and ready-to-wear, whereas the men were all selling the big heavy items at about 9% commission. We are not focusing on that particular store this August 26th, but we do plan to in the future when we get better data. One of our rules of thumb is not to go after an employer and accuse it until of underutilization of women and minorities until we're pretty sure of it. But this August 26th, there are some employers and some federal agencies who are in store for a nice surprise. We hope that the press will pick up on it and look into the substantive complaints behind the ZAPs. We will be doing some things that are rather amusing, but we're dead serious about it. And basically what we want is for these employers and or federal agencies who are responsible for enforcing civil rights legislation to wake up. We are particularly concerned about the programs, the federal government programs for poor women, which channel them into service and clerical jobs. Very often they don't earn on the job. As once you take away the job-related expenses, they don't earn as much as they do on welfare. They have no choice. They have to go to work. They cannot stay home and take care of their children. This is an area that now is very concerned about and plans to bring attention to on August 26th. We're also concerned about some of the employment practices of the agencies themselves. Some of our superstar agencies, which make headlines from time to time for the great things they're doing, have no women at the top making any decisions, and very often we're left out of their programs because of that. And we're also concerned about some of the leading private institutions in businesses in the District of Columbia locally, who are not complying with Title 34 and Title 7 of the 64 Civil Rights Act, and we plan to pick out one or two of those for some activities on Monday.
Well, I don't know whether you had a chance to read today's paper, but on the front page of Sunday's Washington Post, there's an article about congressmen's offices who fill out job requisition mm-hmm. forms and send them to the Congressional Placement Office for mm-hmm. them to hire office staff. And they say things on them like white only or no minorities and so on. And when one of the offices, and an adjoining article about the reaction of the congressional offices said that when some of these people were contacted and told of this information that had been gathered about them, they said, "We don't discriminate. We only say whether we want a girl or a man."
Exactly. I thought that I picked that up also.
Yeah, I think what was fascinating to me about those two articles was, first of all, the blatant discrimination against minorities that appeared to have occurred in the on Capitol Hill, which alarmed me. And as the article pointed out, there is no statutory protection for minorities on Capitol Hill, although there probably is a constitutional one. And I'm hoping that somebody will pick up on that and prosecute. The other thing that hit me about those articles was the fact that the reporter, who was a woman, skipped over lightly the what I thought very blatant sex discrimination involved there too, and the fact that every one of those job requests, apparently for clerical workers, specified girl, quote unquote, and of course that's also blatant discrimination. And well, I think now has to look into the practices on Capitol Hill. Both minority males and minority females and non-minority women are victimized by a certain amount of discrimination down there, and of course that has more of an impact than just about any place else. But as I said, it's a tougher battle because Congress has always protected itself and failed to apply a lot of the laws that it applies to private employers to itself. But there's a good constitutional argument to be made.
Well, what really struck me was that the public at large has a tendency to say that the problem of employment discrimination against women has pretty much been solved by women's groups bringing down pressure, and that just shows how prevalent it still is.
Well, I think what also shows it is the fact that the wage gap between males and females, based mm-hmm. on, if you compare men and women, Department of Labor does this annually, given the same educational background, same seniority and same age, women make on the average, I think it's $3,000 less a year than men do. And the wage gap is not narrowing, it's widening. And part of that is because of the recession we're in. The out groups always suffer more during recessionary periods than the in groups. And women and minorities are out groups. So
the amazing thing about the article on the Hill is that at a basic level, you know, we would hope that the congressmen, especially the men, would be sensitive to women at an employment level. You know, that's almost a basic level. That goes way, that goes way beyond some of the other important issues pending on the Hill. Some important credit legislation, abortion legislation, that if we can't depend on them to be equal employers, you can imagine where we stand with regard to some of the pending legislation.
Yeah, well, one of the programs that we're going to be focusing on this August 26th that I mentioned a while ago, a federal program for welfare recipients, about 80% of whom are women. It's a despicable program, largely because of congressional amendments to it. And we were trying to decide whether we wanted to focus our criticism on the particular senator who's responsible for that, or on the federal agencies which implement it and have not exercised their authority in mitigating, some of the statutory provisions, which are rather bad. And after today's article, I'm somewhat inclined to focus on the senator rather than the federal agency.
Okay. Any women who are interested in participating in these discussions and actions should do what?
They should get in touch with the Now office, DC Now office, which is at 1624 P Street. I'm sorry, 1424 16th Street, which is at the corner of 16th and P. And the phone number is 387-6895.
Okay, as we said before, this is a perfect opportunity for women who want to become more familiar with the activities of local women's groups and of NOW to do that by going down to President's Park, 15th at E Street Northwest, 1 to 6 p.m. on Saturday, August 24th. And throughout the day, you'll be hearing recorded music, which was produced by Sophie's Parlor, and a member of Radio Free Women will be emceeing the speeches and that and the speaker's program. And
also that evening we'll be having a dance at St. Stephen's Church, a woman's dance for men too. It'll be at 8 to 2 a.m., 8 p.m. to 2 a.m., and the donation is $2. That's at 16th and Newton Street, Northwest. And then we'll be having various zaps all day Monday the 26th, and in preparation of that we'll be having sort of a meeting, open meeting on the 25th at the NOW office starting at 8 p.m. to discuss
Sunday night.
Yeah, to discuss strategy and action.
To do it.
And then on the evening of the 26th, which is probably one of the more exciting highlights of the whole weekend, will be a Virginia vigil for the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. That will be the evening of August 26th, Monday night, at 8 o'clock p.m. People will probably start gathering about 7:30, and it will be at the Carillon, the Netherlands Carillon, which is near Arlington Cemetery. And people will be gathering at dusk, about 7:30 p.m. Bring your own candles. It'll be a candlelight vigil, and we'll be singing I Am Woman along with the Carillon chimes.
Aesthetically pleasing. Okay, and that sounds like a very active way to celebrate 54 years of women's right to vote. And I'd like to thank Kathy Bonk and Whitney Adams for telling you all about this. And Lark, our engineer, this has been Radio Free Women.